Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. The next few weeks, our attention, rightly so, would be to the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection. There's an application that God impressed upon me that we see in that story, and we'll touch on that as we go through here this afternoon, in the life of a person named Simon Peter. I mention his name and everyone smiles and we say, yeah, that's my man. That's the one I identify with. I mean, he was impulsive. He was confused. He was fearful. But he also would take a stand and say, you're the Christ and we're going to follow you. And we feel that, I guess, loping along in a sense of, in our Christian life that he seemed to display throughout the Gospels. But the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me add also, his ascension, made all the difference in Peter's life. And we live on that side of the resurrection and the ascension, as did Peter. And I trust today that we will understand some things that can be of an encouragement to us as we look and see what happened in Peter's life. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, we see where Jesus speaks. We start at verse 4. And while staying with him, he ordered that they not depart from Jerusalem, this is Jesus, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. There was a word that he said would happen. The Holy Spirit would come. What would that do? We can read on in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. There was a big command. There was a big commission. Go to all the ends of the earth with his message. And he was looking down, I think, and looking at Simon Peter. Why is that significant? Well, because Simon Peter had just denied him. Simon Peter had just failed to even say he knew Christ. Now Jesus was saying, I want you to go to the ends of the earth and give this message. To speak to every creature, to every person. And there was going to be, with that command and commission, there was going to also be the ability to do it. He said, you will receive power to do it. Now that's the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am going to give you the ability and the power. Now we can notice these things about this power and this change, this transformation, if we look just for a moment into the life of Peter. We find, first of all, that there was a change that came to Peter from confusion to understanding. Back in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, we read in verse 21, from that time, Peter had just confessed Jesus is the Christ. But verse 21 says, in Matthew 16, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Now, you identify with Peter? Well, here's where I identify sometimes. Lord, you made a mistake with this flat tire. I'm sorry, you made a mistake when I got sick here. Lord, are you sure? Here's the confusion. The plan of God, and Peter was rejecting it. Why? It didn't make sense. Jesus told him the reason. He said, you savor, you enjoy, you are comfortable with, it tastes good to you, the things of man, things of the flesh. I think that God understands that. He understands our frame that we're but dust. He understands our weaknesses. But He also understands there is to be the denying of self, taking up that cross, following Him. Why? Because we will get comfortable with health and wealth and success and fame and everyone liking us and everything going just fine. We'll enjoy that. But that's not hard to do. It's not really the life of faith, is it? Anybody can be unsaved and do that. Great. But here's Peter. He said, I don't agree with you, Lord. This is not the way I see it. I want it. I feel ashamed. He didn't understand. Now, this is the same Peter. And here he comes to this time. Jesus now ascends, goes back into heaven. And we find this Peter in Acts chapter 2. As things begin to happen, there was the day of Pentecost. They did stay. Jesus was with them 40 days. 10 days later, the day of Pentecost, they were together in one place. Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we find from that these are exact languages, as the pastor stated this morning. We're not in the sign gifts. And we, I think, can understand these were actual languages. By the way, those who still believe in the sign gifts, I've noticed in their colleges, they still teach foreign languages to their missionary students. And even one of the charismatic schools has a hospital, and they teach medicine. And so anyway, well, but the idea that we understand, these are real languages. These were things that the people needed to hear, the gospel in their language. And so the people were able to hear all of that. But notice what happened. The explanation that needed to be given of all that the Holy Spirit was doing in these people's lives in verse 14 tells us, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ears to my word, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And from then on, there will be 12 references to the Old Testament to point to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, not so, Lord. I don't see this death and burial. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand. To a man who will stand and from memory, it seems, just began to quote verse after verse, and oh yes, this verse it fits also, and this verse fits from the Old Testament, and it's all piecing together now into a message. Where did that come from? Came from that work of the Holy Spirit. You know, God desires in our same thing in your life and mine. It's easy to live in confusion as we live as human beings. We are so limited in what we see and know and feel. If you study science at all, you know that the spectrum of electromagnetic wave is vast in its size when it goes all the way from the light and all the way down to sound, and it goes on into we know of microwaves and just continues on. And it's vast. If you see it on a chart, you'll find a thin little sliver, and it's called light. That's just. But how much of our world is affected by what we see, and we see the things of, that the light now brings into focus, the colors and all. But how vast is the rest of it that we don't see, we don't understand. We do not daily comprehend. I am really not thinking about the microwaves going through my body right now that's powering people's cell phones all over the upstate. But it's happening. It just doesn't register with me right now. And so it is in the Christian life. We have our narrow focus. Well, this is for me, and this is what will make me happy, and this is what I feel is success, and this is what I think will be the thing that will be the goal of my life. We need to say, God, you are infinite, and you can take everything and make it happen to your glory, that all of this now will work out. For we know that all things work together for good. It's a little verse that people memorize and pass over. But when you say all, it's a vast universe. It goes down to the microscopic. You take 7 billion people and all of their decisions and all of the things going in their life, and compound that and over all of these centuries of time, and you see that we have an infinite God who's able to take things. How small my wisdom and knowledge. But what's the difference? Lord, you be in charge. Would you take my mind and help me to see as you see and think as you think? God's already told us, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above yours and thoughts above yours. I cannot of my own comprehend. Peter didn't. He's with Jesus. Listen to him teach every day. Sat around the meal every day with Jesus and heard everything Jesus said. And he still said, I don't see it, Lord. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to help us. Christ's promise was the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, and he'll do that to you and to me. He will help us. But there's a second thing that Peter had after the day of Pentecost, after the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And we see that illustrated when he stood before these people. Now, here we find him, verse 14 we just read. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Who is them? 50 days earlier, it was the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the people that had cried out for Jesus to be crucified. He was looking at those very same people. It was 51 days earlier that Peter had stood warming himself by a fire, and a little servant girl came up. And I could just see her, 9-10 years old, and she looks at him and says, "You're one of those disciples, aren't you?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm not." Now, who's he afraid of? He's afraid of a little girl. And what she's talking about and what she's saying. Who else is he afraid of? He's afraid of the people that are trying Jesus. Jesus was bound. Jesus was being beaten. Jesus was on trial for his very life. And Peter said, "That's not for me. I can't stand that. I can't take that. That's just beyond me and my ability and my emotional constitution." And he showed that in the flesh, every one of us are afraid. We're afraid. I've talked to people and they have told me honestly, said, "I'm afraid to give God everything. I'm afraid of what he might do. He might take a loved one from me. He might give me an incurable disease. There may be some, and I'm afraid." Do you know that fear is natural? And I would tell those people, "I'm afraid too. But there is one to fear beyond that, and that is fear God." You say, "I want God to be pleased." How was he to be pleased? With Peter's denial? Peter, did he say, "All right, Peter, I understand you. You're just acting like everybody else. You're just trying the best you can." Oh, the Bible said that at that moment that Peter denied him that third time, Jesus looked on him. The look of Jesus. Peter went out and wept. He said, I've failed. I have failed. I have listened to the old flesh and the old man. This same Peter is standing now before others. And here we find that he went from fear to confidence in his life. There's a new reality. There's a new freedom that he finds. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to help us do that. And so it is for us. We need to say, God, help me. This idea of what man might do, did it happen to Peter? Yes, it did. In Acts chapter 3, we find there was a continued persecution, and this time Peter is involved in it. And there was the work that was to go on. The lame beggar was healed, and Peter did not was not worried about it. He looked at those people and in verse 14 said, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. Wow, this is the same Peter that a little girl made him be quiet and deny God. He said, this is not going to stop me. And it did not stop him. Because we find that in chapter 5, there was the persecution that came to Peter, and he was put in jail, and he was beaten. But notice in chapter 5, in verse 40, so they took his advice, Gamaliel had said, let's just let them go and see what God does. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them, charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Here's a man that had already displayed the work of the Holy Spirit affecting his mind. He now understood more of the plan of God by the work that the Holy Spirit was doing in his life. There were the emotions now from fear to confidence, and he was able to stand and proclaim these things, that it is the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And we find also Peter, who had denied knowing Christ, tells these people, I will obey him at all costs. Now, this last one I see is his will. Holy Spirit affected his mind, affected his emotions, but lastly it affected his will. There was something that was going on in his life where the Holy Spirit now was in charge, and every part of Peter now glowed with glory that had not been there before. It exemplified someone that had been with Christ. Peter had been with him 3 years and failed on the last night of his being here alive on this earth. But now, these 50 days later, he stands and he gives the understanding of the Scripture, gives the confidence of the Holy Spirit's work in his life, and he gives in his work with the Holy Spirit a will, a determination at all costs. I'm going to serve him. But notice something else that was a result. The Bible tells us that after they were beaten, then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy. They rejoiced. You know, Paul tells us there is a fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Love, joy, peace. You know the understanding of all of the things that the Holy Spirit will do. But here is the thought about that. What you and I lack, as Peter did, the Holy Spirit more than enables, more than makes up for it. There is a work that God is to do through David Cunningham as well as through each of us here. If you know Christ as Savior, there is a work that you are to do. See, I will talk to people, meet people, influence people that you will never meet in a lifetime. But you will meet people that no one else in this auditorium will meet. And so there is a work for each of us to do. And how often we are like Peter, afraid of a little girl. We're confused about what God is doing. And we're just not sure that we want to serve. You know, the answer is the same with Peter. Lord, you be in charge. May I understand the work of the Holy Spirit, the power that I need to do what is right in my life. You know, Paul found that out. He prayed that the thorn in the flesh would be lifted and everything would be so much better for him. But then he says, but God said no. But he said, but I'm going to give you something. I'll give you grace. Grace is the desire, the ability to do what pleases God and do it with joy. That's the best definition I've ever heard of grace. And it fits for salvation. It fits for a life of a saved person. God, I want you to give me the desire. Jesus said he would. The Holy Spirit would be that which prays for us and will work in us to create that hunger and thirst for that righteousness, that desire and that ability to do what pleases God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Too often we're like Peter. We're worried on the outside. Well, we ought to be worried about the inside. You may have seen the illustration, but I appreciate it because it affects me. You see what this is. This is a part of a pair of work gloves. Now, a work glove, you can tell, this one has been used. And there's something about it that someone has, in fact, it's not stiff, so someone's been using it recently. How about a work day at the church? But the idea of a work glove, you can stop and say, you know what? That glove has built a building, has maybe changed a weed bed into a beautiful garden. That glove has done a wonderful thing, hasn't it? Think of the skills and the abilities that glove has. You know that skill and ability that glove has? Right there. Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. You take that glove and you put the hand into it. Then whatever skills or abilities or power or strength that's in the person who put their hand in it, now the glove does the work. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. I cannot. But Jesus said, you'll go into all the world and preach the gospel once you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It'll make sense, Peter. You'll have the emotional strength to do it. Stand before people who would kill you, but you'll not fear. You will even have an understanding. And then you will have the will to do it. It's the work of the Spirit. I trust today that the Holy Spirit's work in our life will be evident. And that our lives will glorify God because of what He does through us.